Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, you guys can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a deceased grandmother returns with a gift that can never be taken back. The spirit of an old woman haunts a bedroom late at night, and a ghost child leads high schoolers on a dark trip to their school that they will never forget. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear your stories. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And back today from a long hiatus, I guess, somewhat.
Yeah.
You had rabies, and I'm glad that you survived.
Damn raccoons.
I was trying to think, like, what could we say? Like, it was rabies or something?
No.
Some sort of horrible...
No, just having some mom time.
Yeah, doing that, working on your business.
Yeah.
And Jenny returns to the program. And of course, Carol is still here. Sean is still here. You are back in a normal rotation, is how I should say it.
I am.
So we'll be hearing from you a lot more regularly. Three episodes a week, four episodes a week. I'm not sure how many we're going to be releasing going forward. We're at least three, as we always have been for a while. But you'll be recording with us at least once a week. So about every four episodes, you will be on an episode.
Yeah, however that falls.
However that falls. Mm-hmm. So almost once a week, maybe once a week. We're kind of debating exactly if we're going to add another episode back to the week of regular episodes or whatnot, but it's kind of up in the air right now. But for the next two episodes you're on, because Carol's out in hooking up with the Pope,
that's nice.
Said there.
Jeez.
and I meant just more like you're gonna go meet the Pope or hang. But
that sounds terrible.
I know. She's like, that sounds just like the worst thing you could possibly say. Yeah. Is hooking up with the Pope. Mm-hmm. I've been watching her pictures online, and I'm sure she'll post a couple on our Facebook page. You're on this episode and the next episode, but then again, regularly every fourth episode. So welcome back. I'm glad you survived the rabies.
I did. All those shots. It was fun.
Where do they do the shots when you get rabies?
You know what? How we does better that stop. Work? They're going to think I really had a scare with rabies, which did not happen.
Just keep playing along. You just keep going right with it. You're like, oh my God, they do all this. From what I understand, because I had an uncle that got bit by a cat. Mm-hmm. They didn't know if it was rabid, but when you get bit by something, you don't know what the animal is, you have to go get the shots. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, they do them in the stomach.
Ew.
And they're like big, uh-huh, long needles. I don't know. This is the horror version I got as a child from my mother. She's like, oh my God, it's like 12 needles and it's all in the stomach. This is that version. I don't know how accurate it is. And this is my interpretation of it, of remembering it all these years later. So I don't know if that's completely how it works today.
Now, I can tell you, needles in the stomach are not as bad as it sounds.
No?
No. When I was pregnant with Livy, however long ago that was, almost 13, almost 14 years ago, I had to do insulin in the stomach.
Okay.
And it's not as bad as it seems. I had always seen my grandfather take his insulin that way. And he got the best jollies out of wiggling his stomach with the needle in it just to wiggle it, just to scare us all. I thought about that every time. But it's not as bad as you would think it is. But thankfully, by the time Harp came around, I could take the insulin in my arm. So
for a while, like, that was like just how, because you had diabetes.
I had a diabetes.
Diabetes, as Wilfred Brimley would say.
When I was pregnant both times. Yeah.
And at that time, it had to be done in the stomach.
back when I had Libby, yes.
Wow.
And then they came out with these handy dandy little pins where you twist it, yeah. you click it, and you pop it in your arm. Sure. I was like, that was the best thing ever as far as if you had to be on yeah. insulin.
But when you did the stomach shot, like, is that like a, is it a, how it's far like, in does the needle go?
Well, from what I remember, it was like in the side. It wasn't like.
Are you accidentally poking the baby?
No. It was like shit. Kind of in the side. It wasn't a long needle okay. either. It wasn't like what my grandfather had. But yeah, okay. it was in the side of the stomach. It was yeah. kind of a weird thing. And then it got to be where I had to do it like in the leg when yeah. she got so big. Uh-huh. Yeah, fun times.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're back in our first 5 minutes are talking about needles. In your stomach.
Better so, than rabies.
Welcome, Jenny, back, everybody.
The randomness begins.
We're back to normal. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to our first letter. It says, I've always been sensitive to all kinds of activities. My earliest recognition is when I was a baby standing in the crib. I can remember a little elderly woman used to come in and sit in the rocking chair. In my room, my sister's room. In 2016, my grandma was declining at a fairly fast pace. Mom and I drove to Eastern Oregon to see her. Always before, and visit my grandpa's presence and hear the ding of his hearing aid. On this particular day, his presence was no longer there. So I sat by my gram, held her, and helped her change her clothes. As a caregiver or med tech for memory impairment facility, and judging by the way she was acting, I knew that she'd gone that weekend, so we called family over to say goodbye. The same day, we collected all her important belongings, the lockbox where her meds were, family photos. No one knew the lockbox combination. We figured we'd deal with it when we got home. We said our goodbyes, headed back to Portland, and I knew an hour after we left that she would be passing, and she passed. My cousin called to confirm. That night, I put her belongings on the bench and cried myself to sleep. And she came to me in a dream. She was smiling and she hugged me so tight, never speaking a word. Then she said her birthday month and the day, and I looked at her confused and she smiled and then disappeared. When I woke up, got out of the bed, put those numbers in the box and the lockbox, and it opened. Fast forward 2 years on her anniversary, February 28th of 2018. I was a bit emotional that night and I caught a glimpse of a movement out of the corner of my eye, but decided to ignore it and head off to bed since I work swing and I didn't get tired till late. I laid down, got to sleep, felt myself starting to float off, and then Graham appeared. We were sitting on the porch swing, holding hands, and she smiled her beautiful smile, never saying anything. We got up, walked to the garden where the arbor of grapes was, and she hugged me so tight and she turned and walked away and disappeared into the grapes. I didn't feel sad. I knew she was telling me that she's okay and in a good place. I have a gift that has been given to me. I've had so many encounters over the course of my life, and I thought I'd share this particular one with you, as my gram was so very loved by so many people. Hope you enjoyed my story. I've been listening to you guys now for more than 2 months, especially on my way home from work. Love the podcast. Plan on becoming an EPP very soon. Thank you, Jenny. So there you go. I mean, the lockbox combination
yeah.
is really the telltale kind of sign of like, here it is. This is not just a dream.
Right. That's what I was going to say, because, you know, everything else, it could be looked at as you're just dreaming about mm-hmm. your grandmother, but getting that piece of information that makes something happen in your waking times, I feel like yeah. that's the tell.
Yeah, I completely agree. Thank you for sharing that story with us. All right, just a minute to take care of a little bit of business here. You know what's not smart? The job boards and the job sites that send you candidates that are not remotely qualified for the job that you're trying to fill. Have you ever experienced that? You're trying to hire, like, okay, let's do this. Let's find the right person. And then you get this stack of resumes. You're like, why on earth would this even, why am I looking at this? Why did this come to me? Why did this person even apply? And there's so much of that out there. People just blanketly applying at things or services that just send you, you know, yeah, just everything that comes at them. That's where ZipRecruiter comes in to alleviate that issue. The smart way to hire, okay? ZipRecruiter.com, go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. You're going to get the right person for your job. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds quality candidates for you. What a novel concept. It's a powerful matching technology. It scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, experience, and then actively invites them to apply for your job. You get qualified candidates fast. You don't have time to sit there and scan through every single thing and maybe this one. No, ZipRecruiter does it for you. So ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. The rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Right now, you guys, you can get yourself ZipRecruiter for free. Try it for free with this exclusive web address. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. If you love the show, support it. Supporter sponsor today, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Spell it out there. G-H-O-S-T. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Next letter says, hi guys, just wanted to start by saying I'm a huge fan. I listen to your podcast almost every day. Since listening, I've realized I'm not so alone in my experiences and I have been more open about talking about them. So thank you. When I was 18, I moved back with my mom for a fresh start. The only room they had open was a small 12-by-8-foot room with walls painted a dark red color. There was a small closet in the corner of the room that always made me feel uneasy. So I'd always put my laundry basket of dirty clothes in front of the door to ease my mind a little. First couple of weeks was fine. I'd hear noises, but I wasn't worried about that. The house is over 100 years old. The entire time I was there, I always felt like I wasn't alone and something was always staring at me. One night after I got off work, I got out of my car and noticed that the bathroom light was still on, which was odd because both my parents work early in the morning. I didn't get home till around 1 a.m., they're always in bed. After I got in the house, I got something to eat and tried to relax a little before bed. When I walked upstairs, I noticed the bathroom light was turned off. As I said before, the house was very old and you can hear when anyone is moving around anywhere in the house. I got into bed and the feeling of something watching me was so intense, it was hard to breathe. I managed to doze off after about an hour of staring at the darkness, waiting for something to happen. The next night was the first time I was ever legitimately scared. It was just like any other night. I flopped into bed after a night's work and just sat there with the lights off, staring into the darkness. The only source of light was a small hallway light that lit up the room slightly. I started to doze off, but out of the corner of my eye, I noticed a figure near my laundry basket. I turned my head to see what it was, and when I did, the figure looked like it started to crawl across the room to the foot of my bed. I sat slowly up and leaned over the bed to see what it was, but nothing was there. I turned my TV on, hoping I could distract myself from what I saw, and I managed to fall asleep after a while, but I couldn't stay asleep. I'd always wake up to the feeling of something pulling me. Last time it happened, I looked at the foot of my bed and saw what looked to be an old woman hunched down with her head poking above the end of my bed. I sat there frozen for about 5 seconds before she vanished. The next morning, I asked my mom about the people who lived in the house before, and she told me of an older couple who both died in the house, and my room was the old woman's knitting room. I moved out of the house, but found myself back there with my girlfriend a few years later. She can see spirits. I'll explain how I know she does in another story. From the moment she stepped into the house, she felt uneasy, and when she walked upstairs, she looked into the old room. I stayed in and looked right at me, and she said she would never step foot in that room again. When I asked her why, she told me an old woman was standing in the closet staring at her. I have more stories about that house that I'll share in more letters. I'm sorry for the long story. Hope it makes it on the podcast. Keep up the good work and have a great day. So something like that where the girlfriend has the experience, she sees the woman standing there. Does that necessarily mean it's a bad spirit? I mean, I could see it just being uncomfortable where you're like, shit, there's an old woman standing over here that really shouldn't be there. But it doesn't always necessarily mean evil or bad.
Right. Now, the part where before he knew it was the old woman, then when it was a figure that crouched down and kind of crawled across the floor and came over to the bed, then I was thinking, oh, this is something not good. This is something more than just a human spirit.
Yeah.
But then figuring out that it was the old woman, it's kind of like, okay, then why was she doing that? Maybe she didn't want to be seen. I don't understand that part, but I completely believe that this all took place in that bedroom. I was almost wondering if there's more than one thing there.
It's hard to know. I mean, I could see it being just the old woman kind of going about her day, and maybe she can't help but be seen. That would be kind of a shitty thing if you're a ghost, but you don't want to disturb people, mm-hmm. and you're just trying to like not hide in a closet all day.
Yeah.
But you're just trying to do your thing, but all these people are all sensitive. They can all see me. I can't help that. Mm-hmm. I think that would be kind of an odd place to be, where it's like, I'm really not trying to scare you, but I'm here too. Mm-hmm. Let's all be at peace.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just afraid it was going to like start crawling across the ceiling when it was crawling across the floor. It's like, oh, this is not good.
And then the old woman crawled across the ceiling.
Yeah.
855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Next letter says, my ghost story happened my senior year of high school in my high school. My high school is old. It was built in 1912. Hey, mine was too. And rebuilt in 1998 for safety reasons. Mine closed in about 99. So they just kind of gave up. They're like, yeah, safety kind of sucks for the last 20 years, but
I bet you loved going to that old high school.
You know, I wish I thought more about ghostly things in that school, but I never did.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, obviously I was interested, but it felt fairly peaceful to me.
Well, that's good.
I was more at unease with the students than I was with the building. And that building itself was so, it looked like an old prison, big limestone thing. Anyway, my school has several ghosts. I didn't believe them until this particular day. To get a full gravity of what happened, I have to explain a little bit about the layout of the part of the building this occurred. This happened in the drama department of the school, which there is a drama room that's a classroom type setting. By the drama room, our dressing room, small waiting area for performers to sit while waiting to go up to a set of stairs leading to the stage and a shop. These shop doors are at least 3 feet thick and are very heavy. By the drama room, there are staircases that lead to the hallway by the auditorium, typically used by the performers after shows. My friend and I were headed up those stairs to leave the building after a play when we saw a little girl standing on the landing. She looked to be about 5 to 7 in age. I thought she might have been a sibling or niece of another actor or the daughter of a director. My friend asked if we could help her find her parents. She said, can you help me find my doll? And we agreed. I thought we would then help her find her parents. She led us back down the stairs, and I figured she had left it in the dressing room area, the drama classroom. However, much to my surprise, she went through the shop doors. I thought she might have slipped in through the door, and it shut behind her. I tried opening it, but it was locked. I don't think I've ever left the school that fast before.
You know, in a lot of those old buildings, it may have been the high school when mm-hmm. this person went there, but it could have been the school where everybody went. So it's possible that could have been a student that had gone there at some time.
Where they would have had like K through 12, yeah. essentially.
Yeah, all yeah. in one building.
Yeah.
And then as, you know, time goes on, they outgrow it and mm-hmm. it just becomes just the high school.
Yeah. I could see that. It's interesting that she's sitting there looking for her doll. Mm-hmm. It's, would that have been someone who had grown up and had a life, or who had died young and is still in that state? You know, that's,
I don't know. And it's almost, you know, you kind of wonder about the little girl ghosts that are seemingly doing something innocent, mm-hmm. where it's kind of like, is it really a yeah. little girl ghost or not so much?
It makes you wonder. And yeah, I'd be very hesitant on that one. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Mickey from Wilkes-Barre, PA, again. So this is what just happened to me tonight. Little backstory. I work for a startup. It's a silent disco and VR startup. My boss just recently bought this building, and it was originally offices for a hospital, bureaucratic offices for a hospital. So we just moved in not too long ago. And I feel completely comfortable here. But we are we're doing major renovations. And, so, you know, I don't consider myself to be sensitive at all, but, I have seen a lot of things here. A lot of shadows, a lot of shadow people, a lot of, things out of the, you know, like seeing like shadows out of the corner of my eyes. But most notably, I will see shadows walk past my open office door. So I am basically my boss's right-hand man. So I spend a lot of time in this building by myself. And so, like, I'm really kind of, you know, like, if anyone's going to say anything, it will be me. But like I said, you know, I feel very comfortable here up until tonight. Actually, earlier this afternoon, this just happened not too long ago, just a couple hours ago, actually. So, like I said, you know, we're undergoing renovations, and it's a two-story building, and I was sitting in my office by myself, and I lock myself in once everyone else is gone, because it's kind of a shady part of town. So, yeah, I heard someone run down the one side of the second floor, and it's all linoleum up there. So I heard someone run down the side of the one hallway, the second floor, and they stopped, and then they turned around and walked back the way that they had come. Now, I've never heard anything like that. And this is 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so I just freaking out a little bit. Obviously, I ran upstairs. I knew all of the doors were locked. I was the only one in the building. But yeah, I ran upstairs to see who was there. Checked every room in the building. Nothing. So that scared the shit out of me, obviously. So then I text one of my coworkers who, before we even moved into this building, he was here, you know, building furniture and doing painting and stuff. And yeah, he told me that he's heard the same exact thing. And then I texted another coworker, and he had said to me that he had heard strange things in the building when he was here by himself, also another painter. And he, the exact same thing. He said the exact same thing. He said he heard people walking around upstairs. And I also, you know, texted my boss's girlfriend, who is one of my best friends, and she said that we had had a holiday party right after Thanksgiving, and she was locking everything up after that, and she was on the second floor, and she was putting stuff into one of the rooms on the second floor, and she said that she had heard someone whisper, now I don't want to say her name, but it rhymes with help me. So she said she thought that it either said help me or her name. So that's my story right now. I'm also still at work right now. So I have, I have a razor blade in my back pocket, and I have a wrench in my other back pocket right now. So, but yeah, So that's my story, which just happened to me. So, I hope you guys enjoy that. If you want to share it on the show, that would be great. If not, I hope you just enjoyed listening to it. Okay, thanks. Bye.
I don't know how much the wrench and the blade are going to help you against the ghosts.
No, but, it gives her a little mental comfort, I guess. I would say the only thing that might be good out of this is that it sounds like the running / walking that she's hearing. I'm betting that's residual. I don't know residual for what, but being that it's happened several times to several people, it doesn't seem necessarily like it's affected by somebody being there. It's going to probably happen whether somebody's there or not. So I'm thinking that part's residual. Now, the part where it said her friend's name, that is something more intelligent.
That's something conscious that is aware of its surroundings and can interact with them. You got a haunted workplace, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your experiences with us, though. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, it's the Pest, Glenna from Ohio. I know I call a lot, but I'm trying to get all my stories in before I lose my sight. So this has to pertain to a haunted object. I'm into wood carvings and wood-shaped things and stuff like that. I just love wood. Matter of fact, my uncle, who passed away, had carved a chain with a ball in the middle of it out of a solid piece of wood. And from then on, it fascinated with me. So my brother knew how much I love wood-carved things. And he did something naughty he was supposed to before they built houses behind where we live at. It was cornfields, and beyond that, we call it the evil place. And supposedly they had devil worshiping and sacrifices and stuff back there. And my mom had always told my brother, never go back there, even if it's not true. I don't want you to go back there because I don't think it's safe. But him and the boy next door, of course, got a bee in their bonnet and decided, hey, let's go check that out. So they go on back where the forest meets the field and where all that came out. And he come back. He goes, hey, Guinea, that's my nickname. From Guinea Pig, goes, look what I got for you here. And he handed him, he says, don't tell mom where I got it from. I looked at it and I said, it's cool, hon, but no offense, Matt. Mom will know you automatically where you got it from. It was a carved wooden old man, and it just had one leg, and it had a carved beard with a space between. Like it's a real long goatee, but of all things, it had glowing eyes. It was just painted on there, but it had glowing eyes. So he said, still tell her. I said, I won't have to. Eventually my mom saw it and she goes, my God, where did you get that from? That thing's evil. I says, Bubby gave it to me. And she goes, oh, he didn't. I said, didn't do what? I'm playing dumb. And she yells for him. And she goes, where did you get this? Is this where I think you got it from? And he goes, yes, Mom. And she says, no offense, Guinea. She says, I know how you love wood carved things, but you cannot have that. That thing's evil. I'm giving you permission this one time, Bubby, to go and put that back where you got it from. So he did, and come back real sad. He goes, I'm sorry, because I know how you like wood carved things. Well, I said, oh, yeah, I appreciate it. But you got to admit, his eyes were freaking. He said, yeah. But the next day, I hadn't gotten up yet. Mom's getting up to fix her breakfast and everything. Mom screeched, and she goes, I'm just saying, Bubby, not his name. Bubby, didn't I tell you to get rid of that wooden statue? And he got up. He's like, what, Mom? And she says, here, I told you to get rid of that. He says, I did, Mom. Honestly, I took it and put it back over there. Well, did you tell the next door neighbor boy? He goes, no, I just went and put it back here. And she's like, put it back again this time. And he goes, okay. And then he goes and proceeds to put it back again. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe this thing is evil. Well, Sean, or that's, I just gave you the name of Bubby, goes, Mom, I'm back, and I put it back where I got it from. She says, okay, I'll believe you this time. I was kind of doubting you for the last time. He says, no, I really did put it back, Mom. She goes, okay. Well, we all get up the next morning because Mom was clamoring again. And she goes, it's back. We're like, what? She says, it's laying here in the house. It's back. And we're like, what do you mean? And we got up, and sure enough, that statue was laying in our living room. And she says, are you trying to pull a joke on me? And he goes, no, Mom, I told you I put it back. And he used the tone that he uses when he tells the truth. He has a tone where you can tell he's fibbing. Honestly, Mom, I put it back. And she goes, okay, this is the third time. And it just happened to be trash day that day. And she says, we're taking that out and we're putting it in the trash. So it won't come back no more. So when the trash man come by, she goes, she was standing there waiting. And she watched them dump out the trash in the back of their vehicle. And she goes, can you do me a favor? What, ma'am? Can you crush the trash that you just put in there? Well, we usually don't do that till we get it full to crush it. Then make more. She says, please, would you do that for me? And I'm like, oh, okay, ma'am, we will. So they activated the crusher on the vehicle. Well, my mom watched them put the trash in the trash can or the trash compactor and squished it. And she got a real smug look on her face. There, I bet it won't come back again. We're like, Mom, I think they killed it. I don't think it will. And sure enough, it didn't. So that was my come back to you and come back to you until you actually kill it. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that one, even though I did talk the timer out. You guys do an awesome job. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Glenda, for that story.
Do you think it was something attached to that? Or do you think something was bringing it back?
I think almost both.
Uh-huh.
You know, something was attached with it. And that's an interesting thought where it's you have to destroy it so it doesn't come back. Where you can take it somewhere, but it just keeps coming back. It takes the act of physically, you know, taking it apart,
mm-hmm.
and destroying it to keep it away. And that's an interesting thing I've always thought of. It's like, well, because sometimes you think, oh, it's been destroyed. It's gone. It was put over here. It should be destroyed. But then sometimes those objects come back. But they actually took the time to make sure it was crushed. Is that always the case? So, I mean, can you have an object that has been destroyed come back? Like this in a paranormal, you know, sense after it's been destroyed? Or
I think we've had stories where people have had Ouija boards come back after they've been torn up and mm-hmm. tossed out.
Yeah.
And they're like put back together. Yeah. You can tell it was the one that was torn up, but it's reassembled. And it's not until they actually like burned it that it got rid of anything.
Yeah.
But it makes you wonder if this was just something trapped in there and the crushing it ended that.
It does. It's a great story. Thank you, Glenda, for sharing that one with us. And It makes you think about all those things. I have a gazillion questions that I'm not going to get answered at this moment, but it's a very interesting way of thinking about some of that stuff. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. Greatly appreciate that. If you like the show, become an EPP, an extra podcast person on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Go there, get access to all the advanced episodes of the show weeks before they go public. And of course, all the EPP bonus episodes. If you've not heard them recently, check out the Thursday releases of our shows. You get a good 10-minute preview to see what that's all about. And those are packed, a good 40-minute episode there at least, just with awesome ghost stories and told in a totally different way. Ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.